I mean, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, I want to say thank you to the church for the invitation to come and speak. Even though I was a pinch hitter, it still was a blessing to be thought of to be a hitter. So. But I want to thank the church for inviting us to come. It has been a wonderful time of fellowship. And I tell you what, sometimes when you have a small congregation like we do, just two or three families, and you don't see people for a very long time, that fellowship is just gold. And I know I'm pretty sarcastic and joking a lot of times whenever I'm around everybody, but I truly love you guys and appreciate the fellowship that we have every time we come. Thank you for everybody who cooked food and provided that for us. I know, can't just say the ladies, because I know some of the men were involved in that too, so everybody involved in that, thank you for the hotel rooms, and thank you for being nice to my family and all that. So We truly are thankful for the fellowship that we have with the Lord's people. It's just, it comes few and far between sometimes, and it's a wonder that sometimes we can make it without fellowship. I don't see how some people can just live out there and not want to have fellowship with God's people. So thank you very much for having us here this time, and we've had a great time. I appreciate the men who have brought the messages and those who have sung, despite this last group. I appreciate the music. It truly is a blessing. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to look at verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." There's a lot to be said about the Christian and our faith. We've heard some of that talked about in these last few days. I'm sure all of us here are fully aware that the faith that comes in the new birth, as Brother McDowell talked about the other night, the faith that comes in the new birth is not a natural faith. It's not something that we just muster up. It's not something that we have in and of ourselves. It is a foreign faith to us. It is a divine faith that comes from above. We cannot earn it. We cannot contribute to it. We cannot do anything to that faith. That faith is given by measure. It's given by God Himself. And we are merely the vessels in which God has placed this beautiful treasure in this worn down old earthen vessel. And as I preached the other day, sometimes whenever you have the spirit that's in you and the flesh without, there is this struggle and there is a battle that rages within the Christian. And this warfare is given to us by God to exercise His people, that we might look to Him and trust in Him and depend upon Him. But again, if I didn't mention it then, I'll mention it now. That dependence, that trust, that dependency that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, that also comes from above. We don't naturally trust in God. And sometimes we can struggle with assurance on whether we're saved. And as we talked about the other day, Paul had those struggles with the flesh and the spirit. But he was confident that there was no condemnation to those who were in Christ Jesus, as we learned. As I've ministered and fellowshipped with many different brethren of many different stripes that call themselves Baptists, I have found that in some places there are men that struggle with this work of assurance. You may be here tonight and feel that you can't be sure that you're truly a child of God, that your assurance level is maybe way down here, and that we cannot have that assurance. Some of the men that I've talked to in that camp, they believe that we are given a hope in Christ, a maybe so, but we can never know for sure that we are a child of God, and we cannot ever speak in terms of assurance. And then we go to another extreme where we believe once saved, always saved, let's just do whatever we want to do and live like you want. I haven't really heard too many Baptist preachers who believe in security ever preach that. However, whenever we believe that it doesn't matter and we can do whatever we want, there is no assurance that we can have that we are the child of God from that. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about how there is a place of assurance that we can have. That assurance is truly a biblical thing. And if you struggle with that assurance, I pray that tonight the Lord might increase your faith. You know, the disciples said that. They said, you know, we believe, help thou our unbelief. They asked, increase our faith. We trust you in these areas, but then there's some areas that we need help. We need you to give us that faith to trust those things. I remember whenever the rich young ruler, whenever he said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And one of the disciples said, well, man, how's anybody going to be saved? And Jesus said, with man, it's impossible. And whenever we look at salvation and we realize that salvation in all of its aspects from eternity past to eternity future, every aspect of our salvation is outside of our hands and is an unconditional thing that God alone does, when we realize that we don't have any part in the bringing ourselves, keeping ourselves, and changing ourselves, when we realize that all of salvation is all of Christ Jesus, that's where we get assurance, is because we know that we can't dupe it all up. We know that we can't disqualify ourselves by this or that. And so assurance doesn't come from without. Assurance comes from within. Our assurance comes not by works of the flesh in the outward man, but our assurance comes by something that is given to us inwardly, and that also is a divine work of God that we receive in the new birth. Now I want to speak tonight and show you how faith, and this is one thing that everybody agrees on, that whenever a child of grace is born again, that they are given the faith of Christ. I think we'd all agree with that, if I'm not mistaken. We are given the faith of Christ. And this faith, here the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for. So if today you're just having this, well, maybe so, hope, let me maybe solidify a few things for you. That if you're a child of grace, that faith is given to you and is the substance of the very thing that you're hoping for. Whenever we look at the Word of God, we'll find that faith itself is the undergirding of assurance. Faith itself is the foundation upon which assurance rests upon. Without faith, the faith of Christ, there will be no assurance. But when Christ gives faith, He gives that assurance to the child of grace. Now, in our passage here, the Bible uses the word faith here. This word faith, whenever you look at the meaning of this word, there is a several different words that can be attributed to this word. One of the definitions that we find in God's Word, where this word, the Greek word behind this word faith, is found, means to convince. Faith is something that is given to us to convince us of something. And if we think about that, whenever we were given faith, that faith of Christ, it convinced us of our sin. It convinced us that Christ was the only hope that we had. It convinced us that imputed righteousness was the only righteousness, and that the gospel wasn't the good news of me doing something for salvation, but that salvation was already completed and done. Faith convinced me that that was true. Another definition that we find of this word faith is to assent or to give evidence or authority to. Faith assents to the fact that Christ did these things for us. Whenever we're given faith, the faith of Christ, that faith will assent to the facts that we see in the Word of God about the finished work of Jesus Christ as our Redeemer, as our Savior, as our Justifier, as our Sanctifier, as our Lord. It will assent to those facts. The Bible also uses the word faith here to have confidence. We have confidence that Jesus was enough, right?
Yes. Amen.
He is the just and the justifier. Jesus Christ is the one who pleased the Father. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Christ Jesus. And so we are full of confidence in the fact that Jesus was everything that we need, and will need in the future. This word faith, also found in the Word of God, means to persuade. Our faith persuades us to look away from self-righteousness and look to Christ. Faith persuades us that it isn't by our works of the flesh that we are accepted. It isn't by the works of our flesh that we are kept. And it isn't by the works of our flesh that we are finally glorified and removed from this body of sin. It is by the work of Jesus Christ. Faith will always find confidence in Christ, but it also will persuade us of Christ. It will persuade us that He is what we need. And then one other definition we find of this word faith in the Word of God is trust. This faith gives us a trust in all the promises that God made. We talked about that the other day, that He has given us great and precious promises. Those promises that are given to us, we can trust that He will do what He said He will do. What He's done legally, what He's going to be doing practically in our lives. And so we find this word faith means to convince, to assent, to have confidence, to persuade, and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is given to us, as Brother McDowell said, in the new birth. But we also find in the Word of God, if you want to be the one who wants to hit it right on the head, I'm hearing what you're saying, preacher, but you're still not telling me there's assurance in faith. Well, if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 17 with me. Acts chapter 17. We'll see the same Greek word translated in Acts chapter 17 as this. Acts 17. Look with me, if you would, down at verse 31. It says, "Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given," and here's the word, the same word that's used in Hebrews for faith is the same word behind this next word. "He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead." So that faith that we have is given to us, and that faith in and of itself becomes our assurance. That is where assurance comes from. It comes from the God-given, divine faith of Christ Jesus. We find that faith and hope, assurance and hope, these two things are intermingled. These two things are actually inseparable. You don't have to hold one over the other. You don't have to say, well, we have a hope, but we can't have assurance. Or you don't have to say, well, I have assurance, but it's not just a hope. We can have both. Especially when we realize that the word hope in the Scriptures doesn't mean a maybe-so thing. That word hope means an eager expectation. That's what that word means. So they come hand in hand. Hope and assurance, or faith and assurance, comes hand in hand. And as I mentioned a while ago, these things are not based upon the works of the flesh. And they do not come from the natural man. If you're here today and your assurance that you have is built upon how much works you're doing, that's a false assurance. You're building your house on sand. If we look to anything we do in the outward man as our assurance, then we are walking and treading in a place where it can easily be a place of crumbling and we could fall. Take heed how you stand, lest you fall. We may be going and clicking along really good and it looks good on the outside, and then all of a sudden somebody departs from the faith. They went out from us because they were not of us. But for all those years, they looked like they were of us. And what great assurance we surely thought there could have been, because they did all the great things. They played the piano or the guitar or the organ, or they, you know, cooked the food, or they preached from the pulpit, or whatever the case might be. They had all these outward signs that was there. But friends, as we learned the other day, we should have no confidence in the flesh. So our assurance is never built upon that. That was one of the reasons that some of the men that I fellowship with that have this only hope belief and no assurance belief, they got upset because they say, well, then you're trusting in self-righteousness for your assurance. And that's not true. You can believe in faith and assurance. You can believe and know that you are a child of God and it not be dependent upon what you've been doing. There is that category, brothers and sisters. We can have true assurance in Christ Jesus of our election. We can have assurance of our salvation, of our right standing with God. We can have that assurance that we will be with Him one of these days and not be according to our outward works that we have to maintain to stay. Is there false assurance that the natural man can look to in outward things? Absolutely. People do that all the time. People do that all the time. And if you're honest with yourself, I'll be honest with you. I do that occasionally. You know, I look to that. Well, you know, I'm a preacher. I mean, anybody here know preachers that have preached for a while, but you can't find them in the Lord's house anywhere? I think we all know a few of those, maybe. Being a preacher, brothers, that don't mean you're in. I grew up in church from the time that I was born. My grandfather was a pastor, and I grew up living with them the first few years of my life. I lived with my grandparents, and everything was revolved around church, preaching. And I learned from a young age things about the Bible. Matter of fact, my grandma, if she was here right now, could tell you stories about when I was 3 and 4 years old, standing in front of a homemade pulpit made out of a TV tray in my grandma's house, and I would be preaching, and I had a little tape recorder that I used to tape my messages on, because I seen my grandpa had a tape player, you know, he taped his message, and I'd tape my messages there. And matter of fact, the old lady gave my kids the tape, and they have it today to make fun of me with. But I learned these things, and I grew up in church learning religion, learning by rote how church should be, what you should say, what you should not say, how to sing, how not sing, how to preach, how to not preach, what to learning stuff. And listen, I could, on the outside, I could mimic a lot of things. We could parrot a lot of Christianity. We can, on the outward man, we can do a lot of things. I remember my grandpa used to say, the flesh can do a lot of things and will do a lot of things to get its way, even if it means be religious. The flesh will do and conform and do religious things to look right, to allow that self-righteousness to continue to work and to fester in our lives. But brethren, if we look to those things for our assurance, those are fleeting and failing, and they are not the place where assurance is found. Whenever we speak of the faith and the assurance that's given, we are speaking of that inward divine work of the Spirit that gives us a hope that endureth. Hope in our works will always fail, because as soon as you fall into a season where there is no works, then as we talked about the other night, you will fall into despair. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11, we learn this. It says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now, if there ain't another verse in the Scripture that talks about having assurance and how it intermingles with hope, right here's a great example. Matter of fact, it says the same diligence to the full assurance. So it ain't a maybe-so assurance. It's a full assurance of hope unto the end. And by the way, that word there is still the same. The assurance of hope. Hear this word assurance, when we find its other definitions in Scripture, we find that it's used in places that means entire confidence. So the Scripture here is telling us that we should show the same diligence to the full confidence of hope until the end. We can have assurance, brethren. The word hope here is a word that means to anticipate. Whenever my granny comes to visit up in Joplin, she lets us know when she's coming, and she calls when she leaves Bristow and says, "I'm on my way," and we know it takes about 2.5 hours. So come around 2.5 hours or so, we start peeking out the window. Peeking out the window. Why? Because we're hoping she gets there quicker. You know, we're looking for her. We have an anticipation that she's coming. And so that hope that we have of her coming isn't a maybe so. It's a we know she's coming. She's on her way. And the hope that we have as the people of God is the hope of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the hope of the inheritance that He has promised to all of His people, the hope of eternal life that He says that He has given us, the hope of spending eternity, as we talked about this morning, in worship around the throne of God, in the presence of God. We have a hope that we will be conformed to the image of God. We have a hope that we will be rid of the body of death that we're in now. We have a hope that there will be no more tears, no more separation, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin. Brethren, we have a lot to hope in, but it's not a maybe so. The Bible has given us those promises that is a fact. It is coming. It is given to the child of grace. Ephesians chapter 1 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." He didn't wait until it was down here. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. It was set in stone before ever Adam was created or anything else in this world, that the people of God would be blessed with every spiritual blessing and they would receive the inheritance that was promised to them because of the imputed righteousness of their mediator and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a promise that we have. And that promise is so sure that the hope that we have is, I can't wait for it to get here. It's an earnest expectation and anticipation of something that has been told would be given to me. A lot of times we'll go fishing, and we've kind of made it a habit when we go down to the creek that after we spent some time there, the kids will get out and swim. We'll throw out some fishing lines and catch some fish and everything. And we've made it kind of a habit that when we get done with that, we go, there's this little town by where we fish. We go through, and there's a little place that they sell like snow cones and malts and different stuff like that. We've kind of now got used to doing that. And after we fish, we just pull in, get us something to drink, and have it on the way home. We now have, when we get ready to get in the car to leave the creek, an earnest expectation that Dad is stopping to get us snow cones. Why do they know that? Because we've made that a thing. They know Dad's going to stop and get me a snow cone when we're done swimming, when we're done fishing. Well, brothers, if Jesus has told us that He is going to give us everything, if the Bible tells us that we are joint heirs with Him, what more promise do you need? That's not a maybe so hope. If you're thinking that your salvation and your eternal end is a maybe so, and yet you believe in sovereign grace, something's wrong. I do not understand how anybody can believe in the sovereign grace of God, but still think that their assurance is a maybe so thing. It is as much locked up as that imputed righteousness that was outside your touch and hand as well. An earnest expectation. So these words, though they're slightly different, assurance and hope, they have a bond between them. They have a bond in between them because in that faith that is given in the new birth, that faith becomes the foundation of one's hope. Without faith, there is no hope. And where hope is, there will be faith. And so back in our passage in Hebrews chapter 11, whenever we see that faith is the substance of things hoped for, we find another important word that gives us hope, that gives us assurance that these things be true. The word substance there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance in the Greek is from a compound word that means a setting under or a support. It means something that is put underneath as a support for something else. And so in essence, what the Scripture is saying here is that faith is the substance or the support of things hoped for. So if you're here today and you're one of the ones that just say, well, you know, I have a hope, but I can't have an assurance. Well, your faith that's been given to you by Christ has been given to you as a support for your hope. That your hope will not fall. That your hope will not fail. That your hope will not sink. So even if you look at that as a maybe so, which that's not what the Bible teaches, but if you do think it's a maybe so, if you're a child of grace, that faith will come underneath that, undergird that hope, and keep that hope from falling. The word substance there also actually means assurance, confidence, confident. Just like we learned in the other words. So again, I want you to notice how intertwined faith and hope are. Faith and assurance, how intertwined we see these things. We learned in Hebrews 6:11 just then that we should have a full assurance of hope. But look also in Hebrews chapter 10 and down at verse 22. And you'll see this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Isn't that amazing? We can draw near with a full assurance of faith. So whenever I look at this, and I know my time's just about up, whenever we look at this, I don't think we get into semantics. A lot of times men get into semantics when it comes to the interpretation of Scripture. But brethren, even if you say, well, you're just looking at the letter of the Word and not the spirit of what the Word says, or vice versa, you're just looking at the spirit of the Word and not the letter of the Word. Well, to me, it looks like the letter and the spirit both say the same thing. When we look at the words that God used to describe these things, we find out that they are so intertwined that you can't have one without the other. But whenever we look at the spiritual aspect of these things, we also learn that the Bible in all of its places teach that salvation has nothing to do with a maybe so. It never was meant to be a maybe so. So the letter and the spirit of what we read and study about faith, about hope, about assurance, all shows that these are inseparable and these are things that God grants, but He grants it as an inward work and not the outward work. An assurance that is not built on the works of flesh, but the inward experience of grace. That's why Brother McDowell preached to you and exhorted you the other night that it is because we need, that you must be born again. To have this faith, to have this assurance, to have this kind of hope, this biblical hope, biblical faith, biblical assurance, we must be born again. But the consternation, as we found, is that I serve the law of sin with my flesh, and I shouldn't have any confidence in it. And with my mind, I serve the law of God and have confidence in what Christ has done. Why? Why do we have to have all this? Well, because in the new birth, we're given the Spirit of God and the faith of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to have to hurry here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that, so that. The reason that we have received the Spirit which is of God, from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. One of the things that the Spirit teaches us whenever it is given to us is that the salvation that you have received is freely given, not earned. That's why I say it's hard for me to understand someone that claims to be born again, but yet denies the free grace of Jesus Christ. They have yet to learn the gospel. They may have good intentions, they may be religious, but they still do not believe the gospel yet. The gospel tells us that it is free outside of you, and the Spirit of God is given to us to tell us that these things are yours and they're yours for free. So this faith that undergirds hope is found all throughout Scripture. And I'm just going to read. You don't have to turn with me. You can write these verses down because I'm going to read quick so I don't take up anyone else's time. But we're going to see that there was examples of this all through the Scripture. And I actually had about 20 Scriptures to read, but I'm only going to read about 3 or 4 of them here. In Isaiah 32, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says this: until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruit field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruit field. Now, there's a lot to be said about what that means, and I don't have time to explain that, but that basically is meaning that at one time, the gospel wasn't preached everywhere. That there come a time that there was the gospel and Christ was preached in areas where it had never been preached before outside of Israel, and there began to be fruit and there was judgment, or those preachers, those churches were in those wilderness areas. But it goes on here and it says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. And here it is. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. One of the effects of righteousness imputed and the Spirit of God given to us is that it brings us to a quietness and assurance in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not me that says that. That's the Word of God says that. It gives us an assurance. Whenever righteousness is given to a child of grace, they are given assurance forever. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2 says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, I'm sure everyone here would agree with me there. This is not talking about physical Jerusalem, physical Israel. We're talking about the Lord's people here. Tell them that the warfare is accomplished, iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And this is to be told to comfort us. Now, let me ask you, if assurance wasn't a thing to be had, why would God command us to comfort each other with a finished work? We can know these things, and we are to comfort each other with these things. What a blessing it is to hear these brothers get up and preach of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. It brings a comfort to the child of God. It's sheep food. That's what we love to hear. We feed off of those things. Romans 8, verses 14 through 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, here it is, and boy, this is such a plain, in-your-face passage. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not that we might be the children of God. One day we'll be the children of God, but that we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness to that. It's not your works that bear witness to that. It's not self-righteousness that bears witness to assurance. Again, it's Christ and the divine faith given to us and the Spirit that is within us taking that faith and undergirding our hope and giving us that assurance that we are the children of God. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, henceforth there is laid up for me. Notice how confident Paul was when he said that. This doesn't sound like a man that believed a maybe so assurance. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me, not for this ethereal cloud of elect people that whoever they are out there. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not this day, at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul was confident. He believed, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Brother Paul, if anybody, was the most confident man that he was a child of grace and that he had an inheritance coming. Now, there's many more verses I could share with that, but I've run out of time. Brethren, the Spirit bears witness to the child of God that they are his. On a slightly negative side, and I don't mean to be a dragger down of everybody, but the opposite side has to be dealt with as well. Those who this witness are not given, those who cannot find that there's an assurance in Christ Jesus, the only thing that we can say is they've not yet been given the faith of Christ. The child of grace is given faith, and that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that faith that undergirds that hope, is the evidence of the things that's not seen, that we don't know, that's been given to us freely. And so I pray today, I pray that the Lord has given you assurance. I pray that you know that you're a child of His. And I don't say that we might be boastful. I don't think we ought to just run around boasting in that thing. I know a lot of times we can be accused of that. Oh, you sovereign grace people, you just all the time boasting because you're the elect of God. To be honest with you, Brother James, most truly quickened sovereign grace believers that I've met, that's a humbling thing to them. It puts them down in the dirt. And they don't strut around like peacocks. But I know one thing, they have that assurance given to them by Christ that they are His. And we can sing, we're a child of the King. So I pray that that's been an encouragement to you this evening.